Meet Jane Investor. She always misses the really big investment opportunities. Last year, Jane Investor missed the 16% gain in small company stocks. And the year before that, she missed the 33% gain in long-term treasury ETFs. Are you always missing out, just like Jane Investor? The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com will help you succeed. Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code JANE50. Go to ETFGuide.com to get started and promise yourself to never, ever miss another big investment opportunity.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
The world is on fire, literally. Ukraine, they're fighting oppression. In Venezuela, they're fighting injustice. In Thailand, they're fighting corruption. And so it is. The world as we know it is on fire. What does that mean for financial markets? That coming up. Also, are corporate earnings really as great as the executives at the helm and as Wall Street want us to believe? We're going to take a deeper look into the real story behind the numbers on today's broadcast. Also coming up, Mike Eshman of Direction Shares will be joining us. We'll be talking about how to make money in declining financial markets and also how to magnify your investment gains with leverage. So Mike Eshman of Direction Shares coming up. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, if you want to talk to us about the world burning, 877-711-5611. Give us your first name along with your city and we will get to you. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. On today's show, I'll also be sharing with you some tidbits from the just released March edition of my ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, which is available, the full issue at etfguide.com. But I will be sharing with you some tidbits from the March issue. Now, we've talked a lot about emerging markets burning, and really, literally, the world is on fire in the Ukraine, in Venezuela, in Thailand, and soon to be probably Argentina. Political turmoil taking center stage. And I mention it because the intertwined nature of global financial markets is being impacted. Now, we see this happening in emerging market stocks, which continue to be laggards. This is an investment theme that's major, and it's something I've talked about continuously. If you've been a regular listener of this show, I hope you've been profiting from it, because I don't just talk about it randomly with no point. The point here is to help you be on the right side of the market so you can make some money. Now, this is even true in the U.S., where equity markets had a brief scare in January. Well, what do you know? They're now back near all-time highs. S&P 500, Dow Industrials, and NASDAQ Composite are apparently not bothered by the blood in other people's streets. But we'll see if this persists. In the global equity map of the March edition, we cover 13 major regions. And looking at all 13 regions, there are now just four regions in positive territory, the vast majority in negative year-to-date territory. Those four regions, by the way, that are in positive territory, the United Kingdom up 1.68%, European stocks, ticker symbol VGK, ahead by 1.29%, Australian stocks, EWA is the iShares ETF that tracks that area, up 2.63%, and of course the U.S., which is up year-to-date 19 basis points or 0.19%. That's ticker symbol VTI, total U.S. stock market. So just four equity regions globally in positive territory. The rest of the world is in the red, being led down by emerging market stocks. Russia has taken a beating. Ticker symbol RSX, which tracks Russian stocks, down just over 11%. And the next area after that that has been a great area for bears have been Latin America stocks, ticker symbol ILF, and EWZ, which track Brazil, and ILF is just broader Latin American countries' equities from those areas, down around 8 to 8.5%. Now, there was a survey done by Bank of America Merrill Lynch that showed 80% of fund managers that they polled said they consider emerging markets the biggest risk for financial stability across the globe. This survey included 222 fund managers with combined assets of $591 billion. So these are the big money folks that manage a lot of money and make important moves on a daily basis. They've been entrusted with a lot of assets. And the point here is that they see this particular area as a big risk. Normally, I wouldn't agree with them, but this would be the one time that I do agree with fund managers and their view of emerging markets being a trouble spot or potential trouble spot. Interestingly, there is one piece of contrarian data that I think is worth mentioning, and we will mention it because I think it's something I'm keeping my eye on, is the fact that the proportion of funds allocated to emerging market stocks has now fallen to a record low since this survey began in April of 2001. So the amount of money, in other words, that's being allocated to emerging market stocks hasn't been this low since April of 2001. So in a way, that's a contrarian indicator, but you take a look at the numbers and always remember that prices are a leading indicator. This is a sub-indicator that tells us the sentiment is very negative towards emerging market stocks. But nevertheless, if we see the price action begin to turn in emerging markets, then that will be the signal that it's time to lighten up on the shorts. 877-711-5611 is the number. Please join us. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. The world is burning. Are you burning with it? How is your investment portfolio doing? Here we are. February is just about over. And how is your investment portfolio performing? Are you keeping up with major market indexes? Are you falling behind? Are you lagging? How are your investment fees? Are you overpaying? These are some of the topics we cover on this show. We want to have you be on the right side of the market. We also want to have you have the right philosophy when it comes to investing. That's why we believe indexing your portfolio to the market is indeed the best strategy. That should at least be the core of your investment portfolio or foundation. And that, after you've taken care of that priority, if you want to invest in stocks, venture capital, startups, you want to invest in Bitcoin, or whatever other insane ideas come into your head, be my guest. But not until after you've taken care of priority number one, which is your real money, your serious money, indexing it to the market via low-cost exchange-traded funds. 877-711-5611 is the number. Are corporate earnings really as great as the executives at the helm and as Wall Street want us to believe? We're going to dig a little bit deeper into the real story behind this, and stay tuned for that. You're going to enjoy that. Also, I wanted to share with you a great article from my colleague at ETFGuide.com, Chad Carnes. He does the weekly technical forecast, does an outstanding job. He's been on our broadcast several times, and he just wrote an article titled, "Higher Stock Prices on Declining Volume, Is It a Major Red Flag?" And he basically mentions a couple of really, really good points about how the market right now is being led by fewer and fewer companies. In fact, he compared today's breadth indicators or trading volume, declining trading volume, to 2007. Now, here's what happened with the S&P 500 back in 2007, right before its major market top. 52-week highs in 2007 occurred in exactly February of that year at just over 100 companies. Now, the market's peak price didn't occur until 8 months later. That was in October of 2007. And the number of companies making 52-week highs continued to deteriorate with each successive price peak, new price peak. So we're going to put this into context for what this means right now in terms of companies reaching all-time highs and what that means for the broader market. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
That is the number. This is a live program. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, if you want to talk about Russia, Venezuela, the Ukraine, you want to talk about stocks, let's make some money. 877-711-5611. My Twitter handle is at Index Show. You can tweet the program live. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about how to make money in declining markets, also magnifying your gains with leverage. Coming up in the next segment will be Mike Eshman. He's a senior vice president at Direction Shares. So we'll get into some of the specific ticker symbols that Direction Shares has and what's going on there. I will say that one of the top performing ETFs, actually two of the top performing ETFs year to date, and this is since the beginning of the year, from January 1st through the market close of February 21st, two of the top performing ETFs are Direction Share funds. You've got ticker symbol JNUJ, JNUG, JNUG, which is the gold miners bull, that's the junior or small cap, that particular ETF ahead by 131% since the beginning of the year. NUGT also tracks gold miners, but large cap stocks within that particular sector. NUGT ahead by 86%. And I've told you time and time again on this show that gold miners is a position that we continue to be long at ETFGuide.com. In fact, I have a timestamp trade from December 26th when we went long gold miners. We're still long gold miners. So ticker symbol JNUG and NUGT, check those out. We'll talk a little bit more about them coming up later in the show. Now, the Wall Street Journal edition or issue, this was on February 7th, ran a piece summing up the trio of emerging market miseries as the mismanaged, that's Argentina and Venezuela, the unbalanced, Indonesia, Brazil, Turkey, and South Africa, and then the over-indebted, that's China. Now, the broad market, emerging market ETF, ticker symbol VWO, has posted a small year-to-date decline of 2.2%, hasn't posted the kind of explosive bearish performance that the negative headlines would suggest. That's why, for now, the bearish trades that we've been doing at ETF Guide have been focusing on specific emerging market countries where we see the most potential damage coming versus trying to short broader emerging market ETFs, which, again, have not had that explosive bearish performance that would make them a candidate for aggressive shorting. Now, the two ETFs that top our list are China and Brazil. Now, these are short candidates for you bearish traders. Now, on February 10th, we sold the final leg of the ProShares Ultra Short FTSE China ETF, that's ticker symbol FXP. This ETF aims for double daily opposite performance to Chinese stocks, and we sold the final leg of that ETF. It was a two-month trade, and it was a blended gain of 23.5% that we got on FXP. That was originally featured, by the way, in our December 6th weekly ETF picks. So hopefully our subscribers made some money on that, and we talked about that position even on this show. Hopefully some of you were able to capitalize on this theme. And Chinese stocks, if they want to stage another fake rally, and I think it's coming, we're going to get a sucker rally in Chinese stocks. Don't for a second believe that it's true, But that's what we call a sucker rally or a fake rally. And if it happens with Chinese stocks, we may reload on this position again. We'll view it as maybe another opportunity to reload on FXP or possibly even YANG, which is even a little bit more aggressive. YANG uses triple daily opposite performance to Chinese stocks. We also, by the way, still have an open position. We call our tandem ETF trade a short on Chinese stocks, which uses options, put options. So if you want to find out what that position is, and with the strike prices and the monthly expiration, etfguide.com, click on the Profit Strategy newsletter. Got a tweet here from a loyal listener, Matthew Branley. He was intrigued by last week's show, which ran the theme or topic, which was, are you ready for China's coming economic shock? And this is what Matt had to say. He said, Zero Hedge has a nice article with graphs yesterday that are worth a look. He says, paying any attention to the imploding shadow banking industry that's defaulting and a large amount of trusts that are due is important. And I agree with that, Matthew. Here's my question, and it's a rhetorical question. Isn't it queer? Isn't it queer how emerging market bulls say that China's credit crisis is over when it hasn't even started? What do you think about that? 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Join us at Index Show, by the way, is my Twitter handle. You can follow us 24/7. Also, we posted our latest podcast. It's available at YouTube along with iTunes. All of our shows are archived. So if you ever miss a broadcast on the radio, or if you want to listen again to a show, you can listen there. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about my colleague Chad Carnes writing a great article comparing what's happening in today's stock market with 2007. And his main point was that higher stock prices on declining volume is a problem. And he compared what was happening in 2007 to today. And we mentioned it briefly, but I'll mention it just again, that the number of stocks making 52-week highs in February of 2007, that there were just 100 stocks within the S&P 500 at that time doing that. Now, the market's peak price just before the crash didn't occur until 8 months later. That was in October of 2007. And what happened was the number of companies making 52-week highs as the market was rising continued to deteriorate with each successive new price peak in the broader market. Now, this same pattern is happening today. These are called breadth indicators, which are painting a similar profile to today's market. The S&P's number of 52-week highs actually peaked in May of 2013 with almost 200 companies confirming the S&P 500's all-time high. Also, 8 months later, we see that the market now, its latest peak, that the number of companies making 52-week highs as the S&P hits all-time highs has now fallen to under 100 companies. So here's the point. Here's the translation. Not only has trading volume been declining significantly, even as the market rises, but fewer and fewer companies are participating in the uptrend. That means the market is relying on fewer companies for leadership. Now, from a technical perspective, this is not healthy. This is not healthy. This is what one would not expect of a healthy bull market. And by the way, during the 1980s, during the 1990s, and during the 2000s, the rallies, all of those rallies were on higher trading volume. Not today. We're hitting all-time highs and volume is declining. So what do you think about that? It's definitely a red flag. Of course, market prices, like I say, are a leading indicator. Got to obey the market. But at the same time, this is a red flag. This is a potential Achilles heel for U.S. stocks. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Coming up next, Mike Eshman with Direction Shares. He'll be joining us. We'll be talking about how to make money when the market goes down, how to magnify your gains with leverage, also coming up Are corporate earnings really as great as Wall Street wants us to believe? This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back.
Have you met Jane Investor? She wants her investments to grow, but she's too busy to bother. In fact, Jane Investor is so busy, she didn't realize owning real estate investments in the wrong brokerage account exposed her to unnecessary taxes. She also forgot to roll over her 401k plan because, well, she was too busy. The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com helps busy people like Jane Investor to stay on top of their investment portfolios. We tell you what to buy, what to sell, and when to do it. It's okay to be busy, but it's not okay to be sloppy with your investments. The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com will save you time and help you to succeed. Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code JANE50. Our monthly newsletter, our weekly picks, and our technical forecast will keep you ahead of the pack. Go to ETFGuide.com to get started and promise yourself to never, ever be too busy to be properly invested.
How can you make money when the market goes down? And how can you add sizzle to your performance with leverage? Here to talk with us about that is Mike Eshman. He's Senior Vice President of ETFs at Direction Funds. Now, they've got around $7.3 billion in management scattered across more than 50 ETFs. DirectionFunds.com is the website. Mike, welcome to the Index Investing Show. Great to have you with us.
Great to be here, Ron. Thanks for having me.
After a really bad 2013, gold and silver mining stocks have been skyrocketing. Now, Direction offers two ways to play this particular theme of rebounding miners. You've got ticker symbol NUGT and then ticker symbol JNUG. So what's going on in this particular sector?
Yeah, you're right, Ron. This is you know, the gold miners have kind of been the falling knife over the past couple of years, 2012, 2013. They've taken such a pounding that, you know, many of the individual names within the index are trading below book value. So it's sort of become a cheap they offer some good value there, a lot of the names, and frankly starting to see the management at several of the gold mining companies sort of change suit. They're more focused on increasing shareholder wealth, cutting back on a lot of capital expenditures and investing and becoming more profitable. So a bit of a fundamental change there, and from a technical standpoint, they've just fallen so far so fast over the past 2 years that there's some value there. And, of course, with the run-up in gold thus far this year, up over 8%, that certainly helps too. So as you say, we've seen a lot of trading in both Nugget, which tracks it provides three times exposure to the VanEck gold miners index, and then the juniors, which is JNUG, is a new fund for us. We launched that probably back in October or so, and that's kind of quickly taken off too, as of course the gold bugs love to trade. We're seeing some pretty chunky volumes for a new fund in that as well, and that's focused more on some of the smaller gold miners, which oftentimes offer sort of an arbitrage. Very often they're taken over by some of the larger firms, so hard to believe that they're actually more volatile than the regular gold miners, but that does seem to be the case.
Mike Eshman joining us. He's Senior Vice President at Direction Funds. DirectionFunds.com is the website. They've got $7.3 billion scattered across more than 50 ETFs. Now, let's talk about European stocks, which have put together two consecutive years of 20% plus gains. That was in 2012 and again in 2013. Direction recently launched a pair of 3X Daily Bull and 3X Daily Bear funds. That's ticker symbol EURL for the bull fund, EURZ for the bear. And both of those target stocks in Europe. Tell us more.
Yeah, Europe was kind of underrepresented in our suite of products, and as you mentioned, they've had good years as they've kind of been digging themselves out of the financial crisis and the recession thereafter. So, you know, we have a very good relationship with FTSE and decided to launch these products on a FTSE Develop Europe Index, which has boasted very strong performance, as you mentioned, in 2012 and 2013. And believe it or not, you know, this has sort of come from reverse inquiry. We had a lot of clients who were looking to get exposure, leveraged exposure to Europe. And so this is sort of, you know, to kind of meet the demand that we've heard from clients. So, again, they're new funds. We launched them just a couple months ago. But, you know, off to the races, hopefully.
What would a financial discussion or discussion of financial markets be like without talking about volatility? And from January 21st to February 3rd, the S&P 500 Volatility Index, also known as the VIX, soared 66%. And stock market volatility has since cooled off. But volatility is like a sleeping giant. It may be quiet. It may seem like it's gone away, but it never really does. Tell us more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, frankly, our tools are sort of designed our ETFs are sort of tools designed for traders. So typically, you know, when volatility spikes, we tend to see, you know, volumes in our products go up and assets as well. You know, as you mentioned, the VIX did spike. It spiked to, you know, 2021 or so, which although was a significant increase from what we've seen, you know, over the past year, 2 years, historically, it's about average for where volatility, you know, usually kind of resides in that sort of 20 area on the VIX. So although it was a big spike off of where it's been has been historically well below where volatility normally is. So, you know, with the emerging sell-off in the emerging markets and the geopolitical risk and currencies getting hammered, emerging market currencies getting hammered, we did see a good spike in volatility, and frankly, we saw that translate into, you know, chunkier volumes in our leverage suite of ETFs.
Mike Eshman, Senior Vice President of ETFs at Direction Funds, joining us. Now, with yields on bonds still at depressed levels, the Direction Zacks MLP High Income Shares, that's ticker symbol ZMLP, offers an attractive alternative for income seekers. So what type of investor might this particular ETF, this MLP sector fund, appeal to?
You touched on it. Anybody looking for yield outside of, you know, traditional fixed income, you know, they might be looking to dividends, dividend paying stocks, or some other high yield bonds or MLP type stuff. The MLP structures offer chunky yields in the unique structure of the MLP. We kind of like the Zacks index. It offers yields over 7%, which, you know, frankly, you just can't find in much of the fixed income world. And you know, with the low rates in the fixed income world and inflation, you know, the possibility of inflation increasing, you know, you're just not getting that yield in fixed income products. So you know, again, this one sort of came off of inverse inquiry, you know, demand from clients looking for higher yielding products, and we were attracted to the MLP structure and specifically this Zacks index with over 7% yield.
Now, there's a lot of concern about a credit bubble in China, and you alluded earlier to currency instability in some of these emerging markets. We've seen it happen in Turkey and Argentina, and that of course is negatively impacting other emerging markets. Ticker symbol YANG has been a star performer. This particular one aims for triple daily opposite performance to Chinese stocks. What's going on in emerging markets?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the story there, Ron, is the slowing growth in China. You know, you have localized debt becoming a problem there. The government trying to cool off the real estate sector in China. You have we've had some disappointing economic numbers come out of China, so they're all kind of leading to slower growth in China. And as China is by far the largest consumer of commodities, There's sort of a ripple effect, across the world and specifically into the emerging markets. Emerging markets such as Brazil, who rely on exports of commodities to China, it's certainly hurting their economy and thus the currency issues as well. We tend to see that's a conversation we're having, pretty frequently now. There's been the big sell-off in emerging markets over the past, month or two, and we continue to see assets come out of it. Although we've been speaking to a lot of traders who think it might be overdone, and the emerging markets might be offering some value at these levels. So we'll see how that continues to play out.
And then also there's a more broader play on emerging markets. We mentioned YANG. Direction also has two emerging market ETFs that aim for triple daily bullish and then bearish performance. Give us those ticker symbols before we let you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are EDC and EDZ.
Great interview and great ideas. You just heard from Mike Eshman, Senior Vice President at Direction Funds. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. More when I return. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
So for you yield-oriented, income-hungry investors, we talked about one idea in that interview with Mike Eshman at Direction Shares, ticker symbol ZMLP, which tracks the Master Limited Partnership area. This particular sector or asset class yielding over 7%. So check out that ticker symbol ZMLP. We've also talked about utilities, which is another area that has historically yielded a higher dividend than the broader market, XLU, S&P 500 utility stocks. XLU is the ticker symbol. That particular ETF, by the way, a star performer. So not only are you getting a dividend, but so far year to date, XLU ahead by just over 6%. And so there's a couple of yield ideas. Another way to get more yield is what we do every month in the ETF income mix portfolio at ETFguide.com. We sell covered calls on a portfolio of low-cost ETFs. And for this upcoming month, which is March, we've already done our trade. We've done our monthly income trade, and we actually generated $890 of monthly income on the latest trade. It is with SPY, which tracks S&P 500, and GLD, which tracks the price of gold bullion. Those two ETFs are in the portfolio. And we tell you the strike price, we tell you the expiration date, and we also tell you the amount of contracts or shares that we're selling covered calls on. So if you want to find out what the specific details are on all of that, just go to ETFguide.com. Also, the income mix since its inception of February 2012 has generated over $20,000 of income. And from February of 2013 to February of 2014, that one-year period, it generated around an 8.8% yield, which translates into $8,891 of income. And so the thing here is this is a all ETF portfolio. It's a hypothetical $100,000 portfolio. And the key here is it's just another way to generate consistent cash flow monthly income over and above what you're getting from dividends by selling those covered calls. So go to ETFguide.com if you want to follow our monthly income trades. Now it's time to get into some of your emails. Dear Ron, is ticker symbol AGG or BND a sufficient counterweight to both domestic equities and foreign markets, both developed and emerging? Or do you need to get some exposure to international bonds for appropriate diversification. Seems to me that U.S. bonds might be enough given the global impact of U.S. interest rates and the Federal Reserve's actions. Signed, Nate, who is listening from Dali, D-A-L-I. That's a small town in the Yunnan province of southwest China. Nate is originally from Denver. And my answer is international bond funds, ETFs like ticker symbol BNDX and BWX, diversify your credit risk, whereas ticker symbol BND or AGG concentrate the credit risk on U.S. corporate bonds and U.S. treasuries. So from a risk perspective, I think it's best to use BND and AGG in conjunction with having some exposure to foreign bonds through a low-cost international bond fund like BNDX or BWX. By the way, you also get some currency diversification in those foreign bond funds, because remember, the securities are denominated in local foreign currencies. So that's another side benefit. Now, Nate also has a question related to his parents who are in their late 60s and haven't saved enough for retirement. He says they have a decent amount in their 401k plans and traditional IRAs. They believe they'll be working for 10 more years. Given that and the size of the nest egg, I say to be aggressive. Would a 60-40 bond or a 60-40 stock bond split be too aggressive for my parents? If so, what would you recommend? Well, your parents have a complicated problem. I think a lot of people are in this situation that they just haven't figured out a way to save enough for retirement, and they're in a situation where they're getting within striking distance of retirement age. The only issue I have with being aggressive on equities right now, Nate, is we don't know if the stock market will be higher or lower in 5 or 10 years from now. Now, the S&P 500's has posted gains 9 out of the past 10 years, and we're now way overdue for a few years of negative performance. And history tells us it's not a matter of if it will happen, but when. So being aggressive in the wrong cycle or the wrong decade could be a costly mistake, especially if your parents end up needing the money sooner than they planned. I mean, what if something comes up? What if an unexpected expense or someone gets sick and the money's needed, and then you have to take it out at the worst possible time when the equity market is beginning or has begun to sink? So this is a very, very difficult situation. I say it's better to stay conservative. And I also am reluctant to say that the 60-40 mix of stocks and bonds is right for them. I can't recommend a generic allocation without first diagnosing their unique investor personality type. And that's very important. We're going to be talking more and more about this in future shows, what your unique investor personality type is. And it incorporates not just your risk tolerance or your age or what you tell me your goals are, but it also involves genetic and psychological factors that make each one of us unique and different from others. And that should be reflected in our investment portfolios. I am a champion of customized investment allocations and customized mixes that perfectly match people's personalities, people's goals, people's age. The complete who is what I'm saying. Yet the financial services industry, you look at them, and what are their ignorant solutions? They're promoting a one-size-fits-all approach, these target date funds and this kind of rubbish that promote a one-size-fits-all. I'm against that. Everyone should have a customized investment portfolio. That should be your goal. That should be stop number one. And stay tuned. We'll talk more about this in future shows. Lastly, on today's broadcast, by the way, if you want to send me an email, ron@indexshow.com, send me your questions, your comments. Thanks for that email, Nate. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show. Are corporate earnings really as good as Wall Street says they are? Over 70% of S&P 500 companies have already reported earnings estimates above what analysts were expecting. That was for the fourth quarter of 2013. And 66% reported higher sales revenue. And so equity perma bulls are saying this is wonderful news. Here's the problem, for folks. Companies talked down 2013 earnings expectations to such low levels that the hurdle rate for beating depressed earnings guidance was a virtual lock. So far this year, companies are up to the same old antics, the same old gimmicks. So far for the first quarter of 2014, the rate of pre-announced lower earnings expectations is easily outpacing positive guidance for the S&P companies. 66 companies issuing pre-announcements of lower earnings expectations versus 16, which have increased guidance. So when will the stock market wake up from its dreamlike trance and see right through the manipulation of the earnings guidance game? That's what's happening here. They're beating down expectations so that they can beat a lower hurdle. Isn't purposely depressing earnings expectations to juice up stock prices, isn't that a form of market manipulation? And why hasn't the Securities and Exchange Commission investigated the matter? Do they not care? Now, S&P 500 sectors with the highest year-over-year earnings growth were led by financials, materials, and industrials. So the quality of a corporate earnings should always be a major concern for the prudent investor. How believable are the firm's reported figures? And to what degree are the numbers being skewed by artificial measures? That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.